Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and he's good at it. And those that love him move with him. Those that hear him out, they move with him. In the beginning of my ministry, not the very beginning, but in the beginning of my ministry, like in the early stages, when the Lord taught me how to follow him, this would have been about 3.5 years from when he first called me, because it was in the fall or at the end of summer. The Lord let me know in a very unusual way that my ministry required me trusting him and following him when I didn't know how it was going to work. I had to trust him. It was a requirement. I had to trust him beyond my understanding. And it's been that way ever since. And he guided me, and I received what he said. And, you know, God will test you. And when you pass the test that he give you, it's a test of faith. You have to, it's a requirement. Some things you can't go any further unless you pass the test and stay in the flow of the Holy Spirit. That's why I say follow him. It's a requirement. You're not gonna jump ahead of the next step. You're gonna have to pass that test. You're gonna have to stay in faith. That's all. The way to pass a test is stay in faith and just do what God said do, whether you understand it or not. If God said do it, he told Abraham to sacrifice his son, his only begotten son, a promise, sacrifice. That didn't, but Abraham knew it was the Lord. And he believed that God would raise him back up. And I'm sure it was hard on his understanding processes. But he ran back with that knife to do this. He ran back with that knife to take his son out, sacrificing him to God. And then the angel said, stop, you kept covenant. Now I'm going to keep covenant with you. You're not going to be able to judge everything God say to you. Get over it. Get over it. Some things he's going to tell you to do, you're just going to have to do it. Now, with God, with my walk with him, I learned to dig deep. I can't always get the answers up front that I want, but I can dig deep. When I asked the Lord to teach me how to love his people, I wanted a safeguard so that I would not come that close to rejecting the teachings of Christ and acting on something of the world. And I didn't want to give place to the devil in any form. And I knew that if I learned to love his people, I would be able to function in life. I wanted to do this right. And I knew that I was weak. And I needed strength, and I also needed knowledge. Now, he did a miracle so I could stand. But I wanted to grow from that position. And the miracle he did, when he spoke a word, it charged me up. I learned a lot when that happened. And I talk about it so much, I'm just trying to keep going in the flow of this message. But at my weakest moment, the Lord spoke to me, and his words charged my heart, gave me strength. Now I can do what I wanted. See, when you have the life of God in your heart, that's what you're going to act from. If you get too weak, you can act from your mind. But my heart wanted to love that guy and not fight and not say ugly words. which I was about to do. But when the Lord spoke to me and said, everlasting love, the love of man, whether he does you good or evil, it gave me a brand new concept that I never thought of. But that's the point Jesus was making on the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain and the Beatitudes. And that's what I was trying to do, but my strength ran out. So I said, Lord, teach me how to love your people. I wanted to grow in the love of God. Jesus said, those that sin much, love much. I said, well, some people did things I didn't do and they love you much, but I want you to help me love you much anyway. Some things I didn't do in life, and I'm glad I didn't, but I want to love you much. And I want you to teach me how to love your people. And as he did, I wanted to love them more. So every time I said, well, Lord, help me love them more than that. See, and I saw how it touched God's heart, and then the revelation came. Now, in the when the Lord tells you to do something beyond your understanding and your ability to understand, beyond your intelligence, and you got to do this because he said it. You know it's his voice. You know what he said, do. It makes sense in a way, but you just don't fully understand it, and you can't comprehend it. But understand this, you're going somewhere. So what I do now, my new safeguard is I use my voice. Everything in the kingdom of God is voice activated. When we first met God, the first thing we heard him say is, let there be light. If you want something, speak it. So I prepare myself because the Lord, he can tell you to do something that's way beyond your understanding and your ability to understand and comprehend. So, but it's necessary. These are visitations. And if you pass that point, if you can continue forward, you're gonna enter into a course that's gonna exceed all of your expectations and give you strong purpose. So what I do now to keep Thurston from messing up again, I say I will do all that's in his heart. Every time I say that, I'm writing God a blank check. He can tell me anything to do, and I'm conditioning myself to do it. That's what I mean by digging deep. And I strongly suggest it because it blessed me so much. It helps me be on point. It helps me be spiritually alert, and then I can be like what my pastor said, spiritually successful. See, I'm not trying to build some great gigantic ministry and to show off. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to hopefully win souls and help the body of Christ to be one. I want every relationship that I have to be good. And all the good godly relationships, I want them to be strong and solid. I want cohesion in the body of Christ that we can center around and rally around the thoughts of God so that God can tell us what to do and we do it. And we're married, but we're stronger when we work together. It's crazy to work against a move of God. It's crazy to try to be better than somebody else. That's not the point. We're not racing against each other, we're racing against time. And souls are out there. And if people had the things that God gave me and I had the things that God gave them, we're stronger that way. We say words that alert us to greater intentions of God. So when you don't understand this, you will understand if you follow through with whatever it is God prompted you to do. I've seen enough losses in the body of Christ. People get to a certain point, plateau. And the reason they do is because they didn't prepare their heart to go forward. You have to. Rehoboam wasn't established as a king because he didn't prepare his heart. He didn't prepare his heart. He did not prepare to follow God in his heart. He let other things distract him. He listened to foolish advisors, and he couldn't be established. And it's dangerous to be for God to promote you, and you're not promotable. If you go any further without faith, you're dangerous. Dangerous. Very dangerous. But if you go forward in faith, you're safe. And that's the only way to be safe. Now remember, you got to give an account for whatever it is you teach or do. So you have to. And the more people God send you to, and remember, when I say that, understand this, if God send you to somebody, that doesn't mean that you will physically go to where he sent you. He can send you to people all over the world, because God can get your books, in the old days your tapes, in these days your YouTube videos, to wherever he wants to. But you have to have the obedient anointing. You have to have the anointing, and you have to have obedience. And you can't have either one without his love. So you have to have a strong love walk. And you have to have full intentions of obeying him. You have to be able to write him your blank check. You have to surrender your whole life to him. I don't know another way to do this, but judging by what he already taught me at this point, the only way to continue to go forward and move along, and see, God can't send your voice all over the world and it's corrupt. If there's corruption in it, you just limited it. Everything you teach must be pure. The only way I know to do this is to fully yield to the Holy Spirit. And the only way I know to fully yield to the Holy Spirit is to give him your attention and have a strong love walk. The only way we fulfill the law is through our love. Our love, with being taught by John, we have one law. Love your brother. Against such love, there is no law. That's the only way to fulfill the law. And there's not another way to fulfill all of it. The Lord helped me kill lust and temptation by loving people that I would have been lusting after. And it's embarrassing to say something like that, but it's true. I asked, I said, Lord, I don't know how to kill temptation. I did all I knew. I did whatever the script I found in the scriptures, but I still felt tempted until. Now he had, in 87, he taught me to love when I almost had that fight that I referred to so much, because I learned that was my turning point. And a year later, I was better at it. And it was something that I could relate to. A guy, friend of mine, I made him mad, and he was upset. But I didn't get upset. And the Lord showed me a vision of earlier that day when I didn't get upset. I walked in love anyway. When I asked him, how do I overcome this problem, the temptation and the lust and the problems of it, he said, he showed me a vision of that earlier moment in the day where I was talking to my friend and he was upset, and I didn't get upset. Not bragging, but that's just what happened. Because he had taught me how to love people and be understanding. He said, you handle it the same way. So the short version is, love the people that you're tempted with. The women that's trying to tempt you, love them. And that gave me my power back. But I still felt tempted. It worked. It worked good. But I would still feel tempted sometimes. And I said, something else is wrong and I don't know what it is. And then time happened, and I was loving people like he told me, but I still felt I did better, but it wasn't all the way perfect yet. And I said, Lord, something else is wrong, and I don't know what it is. And he said, don't fear falling. I said, oh, when he said that, the cord was cut. I had no more problems again with temptation since that day back in 1988. Because I knew what to kill. I didn't fear falling. And see, when you cut, fear attaches you back to Satan. Fear attaches you to the world, which is tied to Satan. So don't fear going forward. The first word I gave a man of God was don't fear success and don't fear failure. I reversed it. He said, don't fear failing and don't fear success. That was the first word I gave a person, a man of God, a friend of mine, that I remember. That was the first word I gave to a pastor. Don't fear failing and don't fear success. And I ran into so many people that fear both. You can't go forward that way. You have to be free of fear, and you have to stay in the love of God. And then you have to write the blank check. Nobody's going to make you write that blank check, because most people won't write it themselves. And nobody can make you write a blank check. That's up to you. That's a free will choice. But if you make it, you will not be dissatisfied, especially if you stick with it. I do this every day. I say everything that's not like Jesus got to go. That way I can get rid of any attachments that I don't realize. And that can be some. And then I say, I will do all that's in his heart. And I mean it. All that's in his heart. I will do all that's in his heart. And I mean it. And then the Lord can work and teach me things that I need to know. It opens the door for greater works, greater things, greater moves of God. And I don't understand. I know at any moment he can say, do this. And I said, okay. Now, when he say do something, I'm excited. I said, okay, let's do it. I don't care if I don't understand. I don't care how he works it out. I don't care how it looks. I really don't. I'm not trying to be humble. That's what's become the truth in my life. That is what has become the truth in my life. And I thank God for it. I want him to help me go forward and not backwards, to do all that's in his heart. And I treasure, this is a revelation that I received from him. This is not a pet doctrine. This is something the Lord taught me for years, and he gave me revelation after revelation and after revelation over time. And I didn't always like my assignments. It didn't make me popular, and it caused a lot of what people would say problems. But it also solved many greater problems. When you tell people to follow God, you're getting in their business. You're annoying. It can be annoying. But if God tells me to do it, I'll do it. I vowed that I would obey him. And I ain't going back on that vow. I come to learn. It's when I look past how it rubbed people the wrong way or ways that I didn't intend. When I got to a point that I could look past that, I saw how necessary it was. If you follow him, if you stick, all you're doing is extending your faith. See, you believe, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith is a comfort zone by itself. It takes you to a plateau that you want to be at. But when you trust God, it takes you beyond that to something much greater, exponentially greater. Faith can keep, you can get on a nice, comfortable atmosphere in faith. The world of faith is wonderful. And when God tells you to do something greater, hey, that's not what I really want to do. If you look at it the wrong way, you'll stay right there at that comfort zone, like the rich young ruler did. He was already industrious. He had a mind to do what's right. He had a mind to love which is how he kept the law in Old Testament days. See, some people tried to keep the law, but they missed the point. If you didn't have a strong love walk, you were lousy at keeping the law. But if you love people, even in those days, you could keep it. So the rich young ruler told Jesus, "I've done that from my youth." He had a foundation. Jesus said, "Come and follow. Go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me." Now, this was going to take him out of that comfort zone that he let himself get trapped in, because he looked at the possessions and the prestige also that comes with being wealthy. And a lot of people that's looking at this conversation by the scriptures, they thought in their mind somewhere that God wanted them to be poor. Well, guess what? You can't. The laws of sowing and reaping cannot be broken. If you go about doing good, you've sown something. And preachers, they weird to me. They say, "Give and God's going to bless you." Well, guess what? They are right. Especially if you do it the way God said, go sell all you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. That would have extended the love of God, blessed people that needed it, gave them the boost they needed after their devastation. And it would have put spiritual wealth on his life. Everywhere he went, people would have been given to him. "Give, it would be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." This is scriptural. This is what would have happened. This is what he never found out about, because he didn't trust Jesus enough to go forward. He stayed in this miserable comfort zone, which was good, but compared to the glory he would have seen, the glorious things of God that he would have experienced, he never experienced because he didn't go forward. In modern times, I heard about two guys. They owned a chain of 7-Eleven stores, and the Lord told them to sell those stores, to give those stores away, just like he told the rich young ruler. And so they agreed, and they started giving them away, and people kept giving them things. And one of them said to the other, "Hey, we can't give this stuff away. Just as fast as we do, we're getting more," because they trusted Jesus beyond their understanding. So when you do so in ministry and in life, when you are married, you have a good wife, and you use the whole book of 1 Peter as a foundation of your love walk in marriage, you're going to have the tightest bond that people will envy, because you go beyond the beggarly rudiments of this world, and you form a bond. You love your spouse like Jesus loved you. There is no evil words. There is no throwing shoes at each other. There is no cat fights in the house, because you're going forward in the love of God. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.